All right. So I want to follow up with today's message, continue from last week, talking about God's love. I had a chance to sit down with it and kind of look at it from some different directions and some different ways. It's one thing to talk about the love of God when everything is lovely. You know, there's another thing to talk about the love of God when it doesn't look like things are showing his love, or in my understanding of the journey. Now, I'm going to explain this because it's important, especially for us who are walking with God. God's love is not about how it feels or how we feel about it. God's love is simple because he said it. There's no if, there's no ands, there's no buts about it. It's like he said it, and then it becomes a trust thing. Well, I looked at just children, and we are his children. And I looked at it from the perspective of those of you who have had kids or deal with kids. Ruth is a mama of two. When you say no, you can't have that. Oh no, you've had enough of that. No, drink some water. You're drinking too much juice and stuff. They don't see that as love. They see that as restriction. Sophie, you got a teenager, so I know you know what I'm talking about. Like, they think they know better. And you postponing or limiting the things that they've deemed fun or immediate to them is some kind of punishment. And sometimes it's so frustrating as a parent trying to explain again and again and again, this is for your own good, when they've already decided what their good is and what's beneficial for them. I read a story a long time ago. This is a young lady talking about her strict mama. And if she wanted to go out, she wanted to know who she was with and where she was with and where she was at all times. And, you know, she just kept such a tight rein on her. And she was so frustrated. My friends go here, and their parents let them do this. And they went through this whole thing back and forth, back and forth. She was like, yeah, well, that's their parents. That's not me. I want this. I want access to your internet. I want your passwords. I mean, you know, they wanted to monitor until they felt she was old enough to monitor herself. So she's writing this article as an adult saying how upset she was with her mother and how she felt that her mother was so restrictive. But now that she looks back, and this is a Caucasian, this is not even a black person saying this, all her friends got baby daddies and, you know, got children out of wedlock and, you know, don't know what they're doing with their lives and didn't finish school. And she's got her doctorate and she's got her husband and she's got children. And she said she had to go back to her mom, like on her hands and knees, and say, Shalom, like, thank you, mommy. Thank you for being the pain in the A that you were to me growing up. We can so easily forget that we are still those children because we look at ourselves as grown and we look at ourselves as smart and we look at ourselves as having arisen and understood. But what I need us to understand is, to God, we're still DJ and Ruel. To God, we're still those fumbling, stumbling around babies trying to do what we think is immediately satisfactory for us and not want to take that correction or those limitations or that chastening of the Father that is to the end to our best benefit. So I want us to just for a minute understand that each of us are in a place, even right now, where God is saying, no, you can't have that. No, not right now. No. I said, no, put it down. Put it down. And because we are old enough to make our own decisions, that put it down has to come from obedience, not from threat. Say that one more time. That submission to the put it down has to be an obedience place, because God's not going to try to threaten you into doing what he tells you to do. So I talked about last week about the love of God and how God has corrected me or chastened me in areas that I felt like we were past that. What are we doing here again? But I've learned to pivot quickly and go, well, if you're not comfortable with it, then I'm going to be obedient. Now, when we go to the scripture again, I'm going to take it apart from the concordance, from the Greek, but we're going to still do John 3:16. And I want to show you the angles that I've been seeing in this very recent, right, present situation. So on your walk to doing what God has called you to do, there are people, situations, and circumstances that grind against your going forward. I want you to understand, if the wind is blowing against you and you're not going anywhere, you don't feel the resistance. But when you're going forward to do something and that wind pushes against you, you feel it. Now, I gave this example a long, long time ago, but I'll give it again. I used to have a motorcycle. I used to drive around on my motorcycle, and as young, thank God I'm still alive, speeding around and zipping through cars and acting like a fool, right? And I would try to race people that had the same speed motorcycle as me, and I would not win a lot of times. And one day a friend of mine said, let me help you out. Let me tell you what you're doing wrong. You're sitting up straight and trying to control the bike. Your chest and your head and everything being up, the wind resistance is pushing against you and it's slowing you down. Lay yourself down on the hood and put your head in a place where you can see, but the wind can go straight over you and you'll go so much faster. It's called wind resistance. So when you are going forward, your position must be, he didn't say it this way, but this is how I'm translating it today. It must be a submissive position in order for you to go faster. When you're sitting up trying to control, there's resistance against you, and you're going to get pushed back slower than what you could. So my key to success and your key to success, this is to lay flat prostrate before God and let resistance go over you and let him slide you up under. And I'm learning that in your day-to-day walk, God's love is God's love. And I made that very clear last week. I'll make it clear again. God's love for you is unconditional. He loves you. But the benefits of his love comes with conditions. They're conditions. Just like you with your child, say, if you don't do this, you don't get that. I'm going to take that iPad from you. I'm going to take, listen, you, in case you, it ain't hurting you to keep or not have the iPad. It's to give them a condition that this is a benefit or a reward to a behavior. This is important. God's loving. And yes, all his promises are yay and amen, but the road to those promises have conditions. So now, let's do this. Let's go to John again, 3:16. Now, this is right after the Nicodemus story, right? So it's really, it has such a weight because Nicodemus comes to him at night, and I won't go to the read all of that. And he says, you know, good master, what must I do to be saved? You know what you need to do. I know. I've done all those things all my life. But listen, don't call me good. Sell what you have. Follow me. You got up out of there. Now, that story is interesting because, let me see if I go back and read some of this. No, I'm mixing up Nicodemus with the rich young ruler. I mean, the rich young ruler. Sorry. Sorry, Nicodemus. Didn't mean to do that to you. But here's the story. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. What must I do to be? You know the law. You know the rules. Follow the steps. Yeah, but I've done all that. But one thing you lack. Sell everything you got. Take up his cross. Follow me. He walks away sad. Jesus loves him. The Bible said he looked at him, he loved him, but he gave him, this is what you lack. You lack obedience to the instruction. So even though you are doing the right things and so-called following the scripture and following the order, there's a part of your heart that's not submitted. And as a result of that, you're not receiving the thing that you most desire. I'm talking about things right now, I'm talking about relationship, but it's the same story. He had wealth. He was obedient. He obviously followed the law, and he obviously benefited financially very well because of it. But he came to Jesus because he said something obviously is missing. What must I do? Sell everything you've got, everything you've gained, your right position title, and follow me. How willing am I to do that? How much of me are you asking me to give up to receive everything that you're promising me belongs to me? And so when I talk about God so loved the world today, I want to take this perspective. And listen to what I'm about to say very close, because now is where we're going to take off, right? I want you to get this image out of your mind. God so loved the world, he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Amen. And throw away the process. Jesus did not come down here, I'm going to die, tra la 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 la. That wasn't something that he was excited about or thrilled about. We know the story in the garden. If there be any other way, take this cross from me. You'll show the passion of Christ. You'll understand what the scourging must be about. And I think we do this dismissive thing in our mind. Yeah, but he was God. Stop. Scripture said he was totally man. He had all the concerns and had the opportunity to have all the fears and all the stuff that any other person would have just like you. It wasn't a fun thing. He wasn't excited about doing it. He wasn't thrilled about doing it. And his flesh absolutely did not want to do it. Did not. No different than you and me. Thank God we ain't asked to go to the cross, be crucified, or anything. But we act like we are being crucified when he says, stop being jealous. Stop being, controlling. Stop trying to do it your way. Do what I said. Listen to this person. Don't go that way. See, those right there, we act almost like he's asking us to go to be scourged before the Romans and thrown up on the cross and nailed over these simple behind things that are just so much of a hindrance. So much of a hindrance. I remember just having a conversation with a person about social media and just explaining years ago, this is a, and just the stubbornness about it was, I just don't want to listen to you because I don't want to listen to you. And it was like, but this is the instruction I'm getting, and I'm giving it to you. Now, those fruits or those after effects of that have value. But then God came to me and said, okay, now I want you to do it. And I understood the feeling immediately. I don't want to be bothered with all that. I don't want to have to do that and have to be big post and get on there. And I don't even like the stuff. And God said to me, now you understand what that person felt, but what are you going to do with it? And I was immediately able to say, ah, okay. But then I was able to get before the Lord and get a scheme. Can I make like 100 videos first? And then just throw them out. So I have to be there every day. And God was like, I love your obedience, but it's obedience. And that's what I needed from you. I mean, you can bear witness right now that you know there's something in your life that God is saying, I need this checked on you. And there's a part of you is like saying, but that goes against what I'm feeling comfortable doing. And I'm not in a rush to do what you're telling me to do. I'm not going to tell you no, God. I know better than that. I know better than to say no. So I'll just say later, which is still no, but it's a delayed no with the same consequence. So I'm learning that God's love for you is requiring you to do the thing that he's asking you to do when he's asking you to do it. Because if you say no, you're not only delaying your destiny, you're delaying his destiny for you. You're cooperating in something together. You're our partners in a deal, and you are messing up the deal. You follow what I'm saying? If Jesus went along with his emotions and said, listen, this cross thing, can we put this off? I want to at least live till I'm like 50. You understand what I'm saying? He had to do what needed to be done when it needed to be done. Uncomfortable, yes. Well, watch this. For God, I'm reading out the Amplified first, so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave his only begotten son, made him go through something that he, God himself, I'm sure was not pleased about, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I'm going to go to the King James, and I'm going to read that again. I'm going to pick apart a couple of words. But I want you to say this in your heart and mind and out your mouth. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. And it's about timely obedience. And God's blessing is in timely obedience. It's not, well, I'll get there when I get there, or I'll get there when I feel like it. But it doesn't change his love for you. But you are delaying the move of God in your life, probably people around you, family around you, whoever God has called you to, the world that God has called you to. Sherry's here today. Sherry wrote that book. I'm sure she wrestled with that book and dragged her feet and came up with reasons to do it later. I'm sure, Sherry, you're not on the screen, but you could give a thumbs up with the emoji if you want. When God is calling you to do something, right, that's not in your wheelhouse, you like, yeah, we're going to get to that, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you so much, you know, and I'm going to love you and everything else, but this thing right here that you're asking me to do that is challenging my faith. Watch this. For God so loved the world. And I'm going to take this apart for you. I want you to look at this. He loved the world so much, or he so loved the world that he gave. Now, let's take the word gave and let's pick that word apart. God so loved the world, or he loved the world so much to gave, it's gave. The word gave. Dinomi is a prolonged form, but here's the word. Here's the breakdown of the word. Yes, to give something to someone. Watch this, of one's own accord, to give one something to their advantage, to bestow a gift, to grant and to give one and let them have. Here's number three. Listen to this. To supply, to furnish something necessary. To give over, to deliver, to extend. God is saying to you and to me that your love, are you listening? Is not saying I love you or giving me a hug. Your love is you giving me something that's to my advantage that may not at the moment seem to benefit you. That may be painful for you to give, but the purpose in the giving outweighs the momentary discomfort. And me stepping back and letting my partner shine in front of me, the flesh or human person in me don't like that. But me knowing what God has told me to do and be makes me say to the flesh, you don't matter, the ultimate goal does. God has an ultimate goal when he calls us to do something. And that love that he has for us made him step out and do the ultimate thing so that we may have eternity with him. I listen to people, I'm going off subject, but still on subject. I listen to people online cursing God out, cursing religious people out, and saying the kind of stuff they say. And I don't know if you guys have seen some of the stuff people say about God and faith and religion and Jesus, but some of it is atrocious. It's atrocious. Have you seen some of that stuff online? Have you seen some of these videos and the stuff that these people say? Go ahead and post that I trust Jesus online and watch the responses you get, and then you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about. Whole videos and documentaries just trying to just discredit Jesus and God and everything that religion or faith comes with. Just all out. Why am I bringing this up as a point? You listen to me close. Don't get distracted because I'm not having a side conversation. If two people reject you or go against something you say or believe, your feelings are hurt, you want to fight, you never want to speak to them again. You follow what I'm saying? These are people that are going all out against you when you sent your son to die for them. And they up there cussing you and slandering you and saying you don't. And just God took the job knowing the level of hate and rejection he would receive. Jesus took the job knowing the level of hate and rejection he would receive. Let's bring it back to earth. Martin Luther King took the job knowing the level of rejection and hate and animosity he would receive. Malcolm X took the job knowing the level. You follow what I'm saying? People who take the job to go out and speak against that which is normal, knowing the level of rejection and hurt and pain they will receive, are the people that we wind up calling great. We call Muhammad Ali the greatest right now, but when he was out there boxing, that's not what the consensus was. He was back then in the 60s and 70s. He was an arrogant N-word. How dare you get up there and tell me I'm pretty and I'm the greatest and I'm the best? You son of a B. They called him that N-word, that N-word, that N-word, that N-word. And then he changed his name. Oh, my goodness. From Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. To my, that's a slave name. Let me tell you, they despised him. There was a core group that loved him, but they despised him. So I'm saying to you, God loves you that he said, I'm going to do this, knowing the level of flack and pushback and disrespect and lack of honor I'm going to receive. But my ultimate goal is that this group of us right here on this Zoom would have salvation and be able to say, Abba, Father. I'll take that hit.
I'll take that chastisement. I'll take that cussing out. I'll take that documentaries about this and documentaries about that. I'll take all of that, that I may win in the end what I came to win. Your desire to be loved and accepted will always keep you from the greatness that God has called you to. Your need to have people approve of you will absolutely be the brakes. It'll be with the picture I'm keep getting in my spirit. It's like that boot on your car when you got tickets. It's exactly that. When you have that spirit that you need people, you might as well put a boot on all four wheels because that's where you are. Because you need to be accepted and loved outside of the instruction and the calling that God has put on you. God made this choice. Being God, knowing how much of the world would reject them. How many people accept Christ? And I mean really accept Christ. Not, oh, I'm a Christian. I was raised as a Christian. I'm talking about accept Christ sacrificially, whatever you say, Lord, yay and amen. I don't care how it feels. I don't care how it hurts. I'm going to say yay and amen. How many people in the world, what is the percentage of believers that are true believers that walk with God? He didn't even get the majority on this one. But he loved those who he came for that he knew would come so much that he was willing to risk all the other rejection to receive our love. So when you think in your mind you ain't got time to say yes to God, or this goes against my plan, or this is not what I really wanted to do, and I don't know how I feel about that, fine, fine. But understand something. This is the God who went beyond all rejection just for me and you. So I am trying to zero in today on this. It's nice to say God so loved the world. But today I want to focus on, and I want to point out, God so loved you individually. God so loved me. Forget the world. I want to take the world out of this. This is, makes it too broad. You did this knowing that one day I would say yes. You faced the rejection of a million people, or 50 million people, or a billion people for my yes. Then I want to say yes to you when you call me. And I want to say yes to you regardless of how it comes back at me. I want to say yes. And I want to see the flack of friends, quote unquote, family, all of that who try to plot and scheme against me because I said yes to you. And I'm going to stand back and see your salvation. And I'm going to watch you do and deal with everything and everyone that you will put a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And that's the kind of love that God did. He knew that there would be enemies. I need you to understand this. Jesus had the followers, but then Jesus had Judas right in his camp. He had the detractors. He had those who were just there for what they could get. He had those who loved him from a position of what was in it for them. And then he had those who loved him for what he came for. And the those who loved him for what he came for was a lot less than those who loved him for what he had to give. People's love grew after he had accomplished his mission and he was gone. Now, what are you going to do with his love? I want to finish this up, but I've spoke some very, very powerful stuff right here. I want you to say, God loves me when you read that verse. And right now, God loves me. So nice, he so loves the world. But when you read that from now on, I want you to say, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. Forget the world. God so loved me that he did that. That whoever believes in him shall not perish. And this is the word I want to really bring home today. And I think after this word, I can wrap it up. That whoever believed, go against the grain, go against what everybody got to say against him, go against all the negatives and the naysayers. Whoever believes in me shall not perish. So God did all of this so that you don't perish, so that I don't perish. Wow, you took that risk. You took that pain. You take that rejection. You think God don't feel pain when the world rejects him and says these horrible things? But he had a focus. So when I named those great people who still stood anyway, I said, God, I need more of that backbone. And I'm realizing that in my mid-60s, I'm finally coming to the place that I have that kind of backbone, that I'm going to take whatever's tossed at me, and I'm going to take the pain. And scripture said he took the cross, despising the shame. So he felt shame. He despised it. But for the race that was set before him, he did all of that. I'm going to read this, but I want you to listen to me. You don't get great. You don't get to the top without having to despise some shame, some put downs, some backstabs or whatever. And I don't say backstabs means somebody going to stab you in the back. They will try, but they will not succeed, because there's judgment for anybody who comes against it. But watch this, that you may not perish, to be destroyed. Watch this, to be put out of the way entirely, to abolish, to put an end to, or put to ruin. So he said that you may not perish. He's saying so that God gave his son so that you will not be destroyed or put out of the way entirely. And I didn't like that when I read it, but I'm reading it. You won't be put out the way entirely. I was like, ooh, that means a little bit, huh? Yes, son, it does. It means a little bit. You'll be put out the way. You'll be rejected. You'll be despised. Jesus said they will despise you for my name's sake. But you will not be abolished. You will not be put to ruin. You will not be put to an end. You will not be rendered useless. It is not for you to be killed, or for someone to declare that one must be put to death. When people say, well, see, God did that just for a reason, that he said, no, I did that so you don't have to. God so loved the world that he gave his son that you do not have to have this, that one is put to death, or to vote to giving over to eternal misery in hell, or to perish, or to be lost, ruined, or destroyed, or to lose. God so loved the world, so loved you, so loved me, that he gave his son so that I don't lose. But it requires me to give to him and to give up myself to him the way he gave to me. And don't give up the Namit song. It's you will not lose. I put those words in there for a reason. God didn't call you lose. But your stubbornness, your unwillingness to bend and turn with him, your unwillingness to surrender quickly and immediately will cause you some losses. But they can be temporary if you change. A hardened heart is like witchcraft. The Bible said disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft.
There's a lot of Christian witches running around out here, pretending they're doing the work of God, but they know straight up they're Satan's agents. And I've had some things in the past week where I got my brother serving a process, having a process server come to me trying to sue me for the building, and people in my family involved in it trying to navigate it. And God said to me, and I said to God, God, do I talk about this today? And I'm going to go deep into it. And God said, yeah, you do. Because I saw every step of the way, everything that was coming. He said, okay, now they're going to do this. Okay, now this is going to be said. Okay, now they're going to do this. And it was interesting because the day that the process server was supposed to come and serve me, God said, okay, now you go to New York. I said, no, I didn't do that. No, go to New York. So when they showed up at the door, I answered on the ring. I wasn't here. But still, I watch what God is doing. And God gave me this word. I won't put anybody on the spot. But God gave me this word, this scripture. And it's exactly what he had been speaking to me. And I said, so what do you want me to do? He said, I want to know where your heart is right now. Do you want to pray for them? Or do you want to stand back and let it fall where it falls? Because it's already falling. And I said, the human part of me said, let it rain. But the heart of God in me said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But this is the word he gave me. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, this is God speaking, I have given help to the one who is mighty. I have exalted the chosen one from my people. I have found my servant Diamond. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. God said to me, all who oppose you are already in judgment. Because you're my anointed. And they pretend they're following me, but they know that they're following their own will and desire. But I give it all back to God. But you blessed me and you gave me direction. And I'm putting this on recording if they see it and everybody sees it. Because when the day comes when the manifestation of God's judgment and what he said he's going to do is clear, you will know who's the liar and who's telling the truth. Because the liar will be exposed. It's right here. And I said, God, you want me to really say this in the message? He said, yes. I want it recorded and documented. So when it is done, nobody can deny that I told you, leave my son alone. I told you. So you're hearing me. So all the co-conspirators know this. God has spoken, and so shall it be. And I thank God for it in Jesus' name. People come against you when you go to do what God has called you to do. And they come at you with an evil spirit, swearing that they're following God, but they're not. They're straight following Satan. And the fruit of it will always show itself in the end. So I'm putting it here, letting it be known. God so loved me. And I know that I've been obedient to what he's told me to do to the best of my ability. And if he tells me I'm wrong, I'll turn it. And if he says stop, I'll say stop. And his go, I'll say go. And his yes is my yes. And his no is my no. And remember that? Over a year ago. So I can not lose. That's what the scripture says. And that's Proverbs 89 verses 19 to 24. Let me tell you,
You got to be willing to walk with God through it all. And you got to stand even when everybody else is turning their face on you. One day, the history will show. But at the moment and time that God is calling you to walk through it, don't look like fun. But say this with me. I will not lose. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.